Blog Talk Radio.
Hi guys, welcome to the Access Possibilities School Radio Show. It's Leap Year Day, and we're talking about when kids hate math, and we have myself, Adele King, and Christine DiDomenico, the director of the Access Possibilities School, and Simone Padour, a fellow teacher at the school. So welcome, guys.
Hello, hello.
Hi. I love this topic.
I hate this topic.
I love that too about this topic. I'm glad that we have like both perspectives.
We'll have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Yep.
So where should we start?
Well, why don't we start with why kids hate math, or why adults hate math? So, Simone, since you're one of those people, can you tell us?
Yeah, there's a few things, actually. One of which is I always felt lost. I never really knew what was expected of me. And I know Adele mentioned that the theoretics behind what you're doing, like why are you doing these things? And that was never explained to me. It was always very, okay, you're going to learn this problem or you're going to learn this equation. And nobody ever told me where it came from and why I was doing it. And I found that very frustrating. And I also missed several steps along the way. So there wasn't a connection between all of the math that I had learned. So it was like building a house, but half your foundations were missing. So that was a big piece. And when I did get it, I wasn't allowed to go as fast as I would like to go. And so then I would get bored. So there's multiple layers of stuff.
I would say that's probably most of what I've seen is like there's somebody's missed a step and they're like totally lost because math builds on itself. One of our students in the school always says, she's like, I don't get it. Like, what is this question? Like, you go to the store and buy 49 watermelons and somebody takes three of them. Like, what are you doing buying 49 watermelons? Like, how does this apply to the real world? So totally. I think those are some of the big contention points when it comes to math. And honestly, like a lot of times it is hard to connect what is taught and how it's presented in a math class to the real world and be like, yes, you're going to use this. But I know you like history, and I was always like, when am I going to need this story in my life? So
yeah, for sure.
That, like, okay, so you've told me this lovely story. Why is this important?
And it's interesting because I was watching a TED Talk, I guess, a few months ago with this, because I thought I was going to have to teach math this fall. So I was like, I'm going to have to get over whatever this is about math and start learning this stuff. And so and this didn't help, by the way. Came across this TED Talk with this high school math teacher, and he said he used to be like, yeah, like I would try and make connections and show kids what careers they could take, and this is how you connect this that you're learning to this. And then he said he realized once he'd done some research that the most math that kids were actually going to have to use for their average jobs, and you know, not just you know some you know brain surgeon or whatever. He said the average person only needs grade 6 level math. That's U.S. standard. And so in Europe, it would be like year 7 or something like that. But that for me, I was like, wow, that was part of what I was aware of as a kid, is that we are given all this math because it's supposed to exercise your brain. It's supposed to do all these magical, wonderful things for you. However, a lot of it isn't used. And I wonder how we could use math differently. One of the things he suggested was give the kids up to grade six level math. And this is a high school math teacher who loves math, right? He said, give people puzzles. This is what they require. They require that capacity to look outside the box, to look from a different direction. He said, what is most lacking, he found, in students. So I'd go ahead, guys, jump in.
I'm so glad that you're saying that, because for me, like, I did struggle with math when I was younger, and a lot of it was like, this is math, and this is how you do it, and these are the steps, and they were taught, like, we were taught what to do, but not why we were doing it or how the numbers worked, and my mom was always trying to show me a different way, and I was so resistant because I was like, no, like, that's not what we were taught in school. That's not what my teacher is looking for. But once I actually got, like, how to play with the numbers and how to manipulate them and that it goes forwards and backwards, and it is like a puzzle. It is like being able to move things around, and I actually love puzzles, right? Like, that's one of my favorite things is I was teaching preschool. I just think it's funny. I was teaching preschool, and one of my kids brought a toy in, and it was like this big globe, and inside is like this rat race puzzle with a marble, and it like turns all over in all directions. And I was like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing. But it is that ability to like pause and think and like, okay, where am I and where do I need to go now? Both like that one is spatially, but a lot of like the games that are popular on phones nowadays are puzzle games, and that's all mathematical thinking of that idea of, okay, whether it's instead of writing 2 times 4 equals blank, we now have (?) 4 = 12, and we need to figure it out. It's that ability to look at the same question in different ways and kind of ask yourself a question, all right, like, what is this information that I have here, and what am I looking for? And to me, that is the excitement of math, is the like in and out and loop de loop, and there's so much you can do, and that's where I'm excited.
I've experienced that too with kids that when I've been tutoring not algebra but geometry, and I tell them it's like you're the detective. You're given this information. So, for instance, you're given the measurement of this angle, and now you have to figure out the measurement of this angle. So with the information that you know, how can you be that detective to find out what the information that they're asking for? And so it does put it in a more real way for them to you know, I say, what's that show, CSI, where they have information and they have to find out other information. So if you give it to them in a different way like that, sometimes they do get it, because, like you said, they don't understand the connections to real life. And that was always the kids that came for tutoring for math. It was that, I'm never going to use this. How am I going to use this? Nobody can tell me how I'm going to use this. And I couldn't even argue with them about that. So what I found is when you acknowledge to them that, yeah, you may not ever use any of this. And just that alone can change their attitude towards it. Like, somebody's finally agreeing that you may not ever use this. And this is part of the system of education we have right now. So how can you use this to your advantage and pass math and have a little fun with it? And that changed things a lot for kids, just that acknowledgement.
Well, and it's funny that you – sorry.
No, go ahead.
It's funny that you say that, because the same thing happened with this high school math teacher. He said, once I stopped trying to convince them and I just said, look, this sucks, I know that you have to learn this, and let's get through it the best we can, because this is what's required to get your college diploma. And so he looked for ways that would make it as easy as possible for them to make it through, basically.
Yeah, I was going to say, because even when I've looked at, like, okay, well, how do we apply this, and keeping that as a threat, it does not change anything.
kids. So, you know, that argument of, well, where am I going to use this? And also connecting it to, like, you know, percent and money. And, well, everybody has money as adults. And you're still talking to kids. It's not really a concept for them yet. Even if they know somewhere, like, oh, okay, that's the thing that adults do. They don't really care. It's not a thing in their world. They're like, well, I don't have money. I'm not investing it. I don't know. Like, it's not going to earn a percentage of money in the next year. So,
yeah. So, Adele, I know that you've had, you've dealt with this with some of the kids at the Access Possibility School. And I know that some things have changed a lot with some of those kids. So, what did you do to create that change?
So honestly, the thing that I find that makes the biggest difference is keeping the math that they're working on. And I get that this isn't always possible when they're in a school system and the class is moving at its pace. But if the questions are in that range where they are able to answer the question successfully and feel confident about the questions that they're answering without feeling so overwhelmed or bored, that zone in between easy enough and not too hard, that's when kids start feeling good about math and they start feeling successful. And they're like, oh, this is, because after two or three times, they start to feel like they've got it. And they're like, oh, this is easy. What else do you have? So if they're struggling, if it's too hard, then there's something that they've missed that they're not getting. And you have to kind of take it back a step and look at, like, okay, what part of this process is missing? And sometimes it's not even the math. So I've seen kids who are struggling in math and receiving poor grades just because they're not writing the questions out in a neat way on their paper. So I've seen test scores come back and kids have gotten points off and their answer is there, it's correct, but it was squished in so tight next to something else that because it wasn't written neatly, they've lost points. So sometimes just looking at that, the first thing is always looking at, like, what is actually going on here? Is it the math? Is it something else? They may do just fine. They may get it. You may work with them. They're up to speed, and they still just don't like math. That may just be their point of view. And then you kind of have to be like, okay, I get that you don't like math, but it is something that needs to be done in order for you to be able to go and do the things that you would like. So how fast can we do this? Like Simone was saying about the high school teacher, like, okay, but this is what's required. So how fast can we do it? Like, acknowledge that you know what you're doing and let's just get it done. You don't have to like it. Let's move on. But when kids feel like they know what they're doing and when you acknowledge, like, hey, you did that, you got it. Does that make sense? And let them acknowledge it and you acknowledge it as a teacher, as a parent, as an adult, that goes so far. That goes such a long way. So, you know, just really taking a step back and looking at, like, okay, if something's not working here, well, what is that? What can I see that maybe isn't working that we could change?
I know one of the big things for me is nobody had ever explained to me when I was a kid, and maybe it was because I was in French immersion, so there was a bit of a lag in the language. With word problems, nobody had told me what words to look for in a sentence that would tell me that it was subtraction, addition, division. So I was always, it was like multiple guess. Which one could it be? I don't know. Let's try this one. And I was like 21, I think, and I was helping a kid with her math homework when I realized that was missing.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It's like there's so many things in math that are skills that aren't ever directly taught. Like in preschool, when kids are like 3 and 4, we start teaching them their numbers. But there's this concept of, like, our number system is a base 10 system. So, like, when you start to teach addition and then you start teaching about, like, carrying, if you don't get that, like, once you get 10 in one column, it becomes a 10, like, if you don't get the number system, if nobody directly teaches you about a base 10 system and what that is, like the whole concept of carrying, you're going through these motions, but it doesn't make any sense. And so a lot of times when I start
working with someone who's been struggling in math, I just go back and I'm like, listen, this is the number system. It may sound really simple, but we have 1 to 10. These are the place values. We have the ones column, the tens column, the hundreds column. And a lot of times if that's not directly taught or it's considered a very simple skill and it's kind of breezed over, that can cause a lot of difficulty later on for a student because they're missing, like you were saying before, the foundation of their building. And they're trying to like build from a ladder with nothing to lean it up against. That's very challenging. So spending time and going back to the basics, and even if you go through them really quick, because kids are like, well, I know addition. Okay, but let's look at where are we carrying? What does that mean when we carry, when we regroup? Or multiplication, getting those multiplication tables down really good so that it's not taking up so much time later when you have a multi-step question. Or like you were saying, Simone, well, I have this word problem. What does it mean when we say all together? Well, that means equals or addition. Or, you know, and looking at, well, what's the difference? Difference means subtract. What does that subtract sign look like? And starting to recognize and underline those words that are keywords in a math question, in a word problem, and identify those. So that, because if you don't know what the question is asking, it's going to be very hard to solve it or to find the answer or go through the steps. And those are skills that, I mean, and again, so math was not, it was when I was much younger, I struggled, but later on, it was for me social studies, and I didn't know how to read a textbook. I didn't know how to like pull out, you know, read the heading, look for the bold words that will tell you what information is important. So those direct skills are actually really important, and taking the time to look at, okay, is that the problem? Not that you don't know the math, but you're not sure what the question is asking.
So it's really going back to what you said about asking questions. I have an echo here for some reason.
You sound okay on my end.
Okay. But asking what you mentioned before, Adele, is what's really going on here. And I ask that to kids, too, when they come for tutoring and they just have these huge walls up. Oh, math, it's like, keep it away from me. I'm so bad at this. And and then having them look at, well, are you really bad at this, or is there something that's missing here that we can give to you and teach you that will make, a, you know, create a total change? And sometimes it's as simple as that missing some bit of information. I mean, I remember having that experience when I was a kid in English, being absent for a couple of days and missing like this huge piece of grammar. And from then on, I identified myself as not a good writer. And it wasn't until many years later that I realized that there was something I missed.
And we talk a lot about like no judgment. And so a lot of times, you know, once somebody says, oh, you're bad at math, then it becomes, oh, you're bad at math. And the kid buys into that, and the parents buy into that, and the teachers buy into that. And when someone approaches a child with like, okay, well, I hear you, and maybe you're not bad at math. Let's suspend judgment for a minute and look at, well, what's really going on here, and give them the space to look at it. Then they have a chance to say, maybe they do know, right? Like you were like, oh, I missed this one class. You can pinpoint it back to that. It's like, what do they actually know that they require to be successful? Has anyone ever asked them?
Well, I know one of the things for myself was that math wasn't taught fast enough. So I used to have to go to summer school. Yeah. Well, I was probably like 3 years in a row. What's that?
Oh. You still there, Simone?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
I went to summer school probably 3 years in a row. And I found when I was in summer school that it was a lot easier for me because I could just get it done. And it didn't fall out of my head. And I found that when I was in high school, it was in middle school, well, any grade really, it was just too long a period of repetition mostly. And I know, Adele, you talked about this the other day, is there, you know, the teacher would repeat it three times. By the second time, you were already gone, you know, like, and I found that with math so much, is there was so much repetition. And if they would just keep moving forward and just keep going, like if I had had math every day and then I was done within, I don't know, 3 months or whatever for that year, I know that I would have done better than if I had done the whole, you know, 8 months or whatever it was, just because it literally fell out of my head. I'd forget how to do things.
And that's something that's a really great point that you bring up. Like sometimes I know I've had this other side of the spectrum too, like where I've been too fast. So I'd like skip steps and make silly mistakes. And I really had to slow myself down and like write out each step and know like how much information do they require? Like sometimes they give you points for showing your work. And sometimes like, so even if you made a silly mistake, but the steps were correct, you'd still get points. Even though ultimately the answer might have been incorrect, because, you know, maybe like you multiplied 2 times 3 and you actually put what 2 times 4 is. And so the whole process from that point was kind of skewed. So kind of knowing like, and a question you can ask kids are like, are you willing to be aware of what the teacher requires and make sure that you're giving them the information they require? And it may, sometimes it does, unfortunately, require slowing down and putting those in between steps and showing your work. And you just kind of got to acknowledge like, okay, I'm really fast here. That doesn't make me wrong. And what would it take to provide the information that the teacher is asking for and requires? And that kind of goes back to reading the question really carefully and knowing what is being asked for.
Yep.
So that you're doing what they require in the way that they require it. And that's kind of just knowing how to function in and through and with and beyond this reality to the best of your ability.
And I think so many kids haven't been acknowledged for how quick they are. And I noticed that a lot with kids with math, that I'd be going through this step-by-step process to teach them, and they already have the answer. So
yeah.
To acknowledge that, okay, look, you have the answer. Now let's go backwards. So you're going backwards to, like you said, provide the information that the teacher requires, the step-by-step process that they want to see on the paper. No, I was just going to say it changes their world. It just changes their whole energy around, I'm not good in math, to, oh, wow, I have this capacity with math that I'm so fast. And so that alone can change how they look at themselves in relation to math.
And because sometimes, especially like as you get into the higher grades, math builds and it has so many steps, I would really challenge teachers to look at like, okay, really what is the skill that I want my kids to learn here? Like we've been working on percentage stuff and it was taking a lot of time for the kids with like the dividing and the setting it up and the number of steps. And so I was like, okay, I really want you to get this concept here more so than the division process, because we've spent time on division and I know that you guys know how to do that or whatever it was. So I was like, listen, we're going to add in calculators. I want you guys to use calculators for the calculations. I'm more interested in knowing that you can do the process than the actual calculations in this instance. So for teachers to look at what is the skill that I really want my students to be working on here and looking at, okay, where can I contribute to them being able to move faster so that they're not getting bogged down in the arduous tasks of the process when it's not the point of the lesson. So really acknowledging it first and then being willing to work with kids and what can you do to work with them and to make it more fun, more ease, and faster if that's what's required.
And I think that can really be used across any subject, really, it's kind of like having training wheels. Where do you require training wheels so that you can get what it feels like or what it's like to do this? because that's the sense you get on a bicycle is like, oh, this is what it feels like to pedal around on a bicycle, you know, with the training wheels on. And I find that I do that in so many different subjects. I wish somebody had done that in math with me.
And, you know, it's unfortunate because so many times it's like the way that calculators are treated in a math class is like, oh, you can't use a calculator. That's cheating. Well, in the real world, let me tell you, if I have a math question to find out the answer to, the first thing I'm going to do is pull up my calculator. So it's really, I mean, and that is as much a part of teaching math as any of the other skills is learning how to use the tools that you have available to use. So reframing the mindset of like, oh, we're going to use our calculators, that's a bad thing, to like, we're going to learn how to use this tool and use it effectively. And acknowledging that that too is a skill. And that it is a tool. It's there to help us. It's there to make our lives easier. But you have to also make sure that you're teaching the foundation skills first. So once that's in place, then the tool is just there to support and help you.
And they do need to know what process they have to use the calculator for. So they still need some foundational information, like I have to use my calculator to divide, or if I'm finding a percentage, I have to know what I'm multiplying, or that I even have to multiply. So there's still a lot of skill involved in using the calculator.
Right, and that goes back to reading the question and knowing what you're being asked. So, you know, all of these pieces work together, and that's where you really got to look at, okay, if a child is struggling, what piece of the puzzle, where are they struggling? Is it the question? Is it the actual process? Is it the calculation? You know, is it something else? So really looking at, there are so many things that go on in math, and maybe that is part of why so many people seem to struggle with it. And then, you know, it can all change if you're willing to look at what's actually going on.
Well, and I also wonder, like, I do this a lot in any subject that I teach is, and I remember this from my teaching training, was we learned in educational psychology the zone of proximal development. It's the only term I remember from that class.
That's what you were talking about before. I couldn't think of the term. Thank you.
Yep. And just getting that sense of, like, this class, we might push you a little bit. It might feel, like, uncomfortable. And then the next class, what I'll often do is I'll choose something really easy. Like last week in art, for example, I really pushed them and some of them really struggled and they really were like, ah. And then this week I sort of just opened it up and just, it was much freer and it was much just sort of play. And then they relaxed again. And so for me, it's that sort of push and pull and just giving them that time to play. And I think if we could have more play with things like math, it wouldn't be as scary. And it would be something that you could realize you could come from many different directions. Because I know even in an English class I took, the teacher was very adamant that this is how the text had to be interpreted. And I hated English all of a sudden.
I don't want to cut you off, but we have about 1 minute left. Yeah. And I just want to invite people to check out our website, accesspossibilitiesschool.com, for more information and for how to sign up for classes or our newsletter or tutoring. And anything else that you guys want to add to that?
If anyone would like to send in questions for future radio shows, you can send them to questions@accesspossibilitiesschool.com. And then we can talk about the questions and answer your questions on one of our radio shows coming up.
Yeah. Do we have any particular classes coming up that we want to just mention for people to find on the website?
Well, we have... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say we have a math coming up. That's a monthly class for kids that are having any kind of difficulty with math.
Check it out on our website, accesspossibilitiesschool.com. Thanks, guys, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.